fans, welcome back to Scotland's premier Fife-based podcast, Fife Club, where a few friends talk about anything and everything that takes their interest, putting their world to rights. What's the first rule of Fife Club?
Talk about Fife Club! Yeah!
Oh, it's James, yeah, cheery character back again.
Yeah, here to make your world happy, you cunts.
Listeners can't see this, but you know the bottom half of Judge Dredd's space?
Yeah.
That's basically what I was doing right there. James being so happy. I still understand it.
Do you know what, though? When we attempted this shit ourselves last week, Jamie's now doing Judge Dredd face to me. When we attempted this shit ourselves last week, you were fairly optimistic when you did it.
Yeah.
About as optimistic as I could ever get you.
I don't know what's wrong with it.
Probably because his happiness wasn't being overshadowed by the happiness of
yeah,
me.
Yeah, that's probably what it is.
I've been overshadowing everyone with happiness.
A ray of fucking sunshine.
Yeah. Sorry for anybody that did have to put up with the hour and a bit of me and Jamie talking about
total shite.
Yeah.
That was a flashback to the first ever episode, which was
shit,
total shite.
It was a difficult wag.
You always need four people, don't you?
Yeah. Many voices. Get confusion going. That's how you start.
It's like ASMR, but with Fife cunts, you know? Yeah, like...
Oh, dear. That accent. I was sat across from somebody yesterday. I think I said this in the chat that we have, that actually had that accent. Oh. Like, I know we all talk about the moments where we pick up on ourselves doing Lemmy's that accent type thing, but this guy, it was like listening to that whole sketch.
Did you have like a whole day of that?
Pretty much, yeah. Oh, God. Although it wasn't till the latter half when the place emptied out a bit and it was like me and a few others and him, and I could just hear his voice and I couldn't stop honing in on it. Aye.
That fucking voice.
Really, that fucking accent likes. Anyway. So, talk about Fife Club. That's our slogan, isn't it?
Yes.
So who's round the mics with you today, can't you?
Nah. While we're just on the topic of talk about Fife Club, we have been getting talked about.
Behind our backs.
Yeah.
Exactly that. He just comes talk to us face to face.
Behind our backs and on a fucking podcast too.
The audacity.
Yeah, so if there's anyone that listens to both ourselves and the Trample Bat podcast, they'll know what we're talking about. So, you know, as fans of Trample Bat, especially myself and James, you listen to...
I listen to Trample Bet as well.
I've listened to a few of them, but I'm not much into football, so I kind of I zone out. Really. So sorry, guys.
That's what most people do in our podcast. Yeah.
But you know what? I think like you seem to get into it, and if you're into your betting and your accumulators and everything.
You're fucking gambling, you degenerate. Yeah.
they certainly seem to have the chat.
Oh, they break it down really well. Yeah. They make you
I've got to say, like what I've listened to, how they describe it does make sense. So yeah.
They go through like the records of like games, head to head records.
Mm-hmm. Are you saying they have a system?
I wish they did.
But anyway, enough about saying nice things about them. We thought we would do a wee whip round and send them a few pennies on their Patreon.
Because we're sound.
Yeah. And also, you know, them being West Coasters, we just wanted to help keep them in a plentiful supply of Buckfast and heroin.
That our aid to Venezuela?
But this week, they very kindly gave us a shout out, but also basically called us typically cheap East Coasters. Because we sent a joint payment instead of individual ones.
Just because they're always happy West Coasters. That's like a podcast of Jamesies. What the fuck?
Just because it always rains where you are.
Yeah. And you have to be happy, otherwise you'd kill yourself from the depression.
Hey, gratitude for you, pricks.
When we go to Glasgow now and again, we pay for it with our souls. You know, it's only fair we club in a few quid.
But yeah, in fairness, we do love you. And if you don't listen, you absolutely should, because they're a better version of us.
Yeah. You know what? Can I make a wee special mention for John that's on the podcast?
Yeah.
It was not this week's one, but last week. He mentioned he listened to Fife Club for 4 hours, like four episodes in a row.
Yeah.
Not even I would listen to Fife Club for hours in a row. I wouldn't listen to Fife Club for 4 minutes in a row, let alone 4 hours. Like, good on you, man.
Yeah, that's
an achievement.
Do you know what? Somebody last Tuesday downloaded all 99 episodes.
What?
Or 96 episodes, sorry, yeah. Because I was like, oh, there's been a big spike in.
Fuck is wrong?
Oh, somebody's gone through the whole back catalogue.
Like, someone's feel particularly suicidal.
I think you only listened to four because Five Club is such a difficult wank. Didn't get any satisfaction. It took him so long.
He never quite got
a slow burner.
Yeah, he never quite
both
got.
Both literally and for
that fucking voice.
I should have stuck with it. Once they got to Gordon the Gopher and Ed the Duck, he would have been in the prime spot there. That's where you need to be.
That's early days as well.
Yeah, he said we weren't allowed to make those jokes about you anymore.
What I do in my private life is my own thing.
So I suppose we better get on with the rest of the show. So on the mics with my good self Kutch tonight is Jamie, because I ran out of time and didn't write anything.
Hello.
And Dave, because I ran out of time and didn't write anything.
Why, hello.
And James.
Happening.
All right.
I'm young.
I'm hip and down with the kids.
Great. I'm still hip, yo. That's what they say, right? That's what they say in Fortnite and those things, right?
In Fortnite and those things. That's what they say if you've been text messaged by Momo on the old SMS text message. Oh, wait, no, it's WhatsApp, isn't it?
Yeah.
Me and Beatty were playing Apex Legends the other night with a guy called Da Fortnite Boss or something like that, right?
And, it's like when you used to get like Master Chief.
So many Master Chiefs. Master Chief 2000.
During the Halo days.
Oh. And this guy was like, something like Da Fortnite Boss or something. And it's a 3-man game, so we're playing it. And this guy was shit. But me and Beatty were laying into him, like, just as soon as we saw his name, which don't usually do, you know, you're usually pretty sound, but we're just totally laying into it. And then we thought, wait a minute, he's probably like 12.
We're just
absolutely, he didn't have a mic on, we're just laying into him like, relentlessly.
12 and a Minecraft king. With a YouTube Minecraft empire.
Yeah.
Blasted through into his living room. Just turned him to bits.
Yeah, we'll get a knock on the door soon. Banned from Xbox Live.
I don't know, I think we've said some horrendous stuff on Xbox Live before.
Yes,
very much so, especially playing Americans. Like Halo in the past.
Now I'm loud on that.
It was like the Xbox Live chat is like the black hole of conversation. Like, there's no good things that come out of that.
I just never use it unless I'm playing with mates. Yeah. Because I just don't care.
I'll mute it. But then I think there's not many folk do. Unless if you're with mates.
Unless you're playing, like, people play competitive Overwatch. Yeah. Like, you're expected to, and that people always go mental at me, like, I don't give a fuck, I don't know you.
there's clips I used to watch of, like, someone who played, like, I don't know if it was, like, Battlefield or Call of Duty, but obviously he wasn't doing, like, normal chat, he, like, made a character, and he was, like, acting like a sergeant.
I saw that.
So good, wasn't it?
I'm
gonna save you, man, we'll get through this! Damn you! Just all the tropes of, like, war films, he was just going through them all as he was playing through this game. I was just like, what the fuck are you doing? And I'm just like, just go with it, you fools.
There's another guy that takes it far too seriously as well, and it's like, you know, he's basically shouting down a microphone saying, there's a Charlie on your six.
Oh my god.
Just imagine sitting there, the person that's playing it just going, fuck.
I got my first Xbox message for ages the other day on Apex where this guy was being a dick, like, the whole game. He was like playing for himself, and then there's something you can revive people. But he died, so I just went and stole all his stuff. Like, when he died, which I don't do, but this guy was a proper dick. And I went and revived him, and he came back. And he was like, oh, thanks for stealing all my stuff. His box was, like, right next to where he died, where I revived him. And I was like, I just said, no problem. Fucking great.
It's like, I'm sorry, that's how the game works.
Well, no, to be fair, I was being a dick in that situation. But he'd been a dick before, so two wrongs make a right, right?
Right, yes. Yeah, sure.
Good. On Xbox Live. Well, speaking of people being shites on the internet.
Uh-huh.
Momo,
yeah. So, who knows more about this?
Well, I was actually introduced to Momo before this all kicked off. Like,
what they like?
Well, nice. No, it was actually Hannah, you know, friend of the podcast,
yeah,
who had turned around to me and she basically said, "Have you seen this?" And she showed me the face, and I was like, "That's going to haunt my nightmares for starters." Mm-hmm. And then she was like, "Oh, there's, you know, kids in America that have been doing this, and it's this SMS service where they basically get a series of challenges that get worse and worse and worse to the point where it's like, we want you to send us a video of you doing whatever,
yeah, cutting yourself or
so it's
like, and if you don't, kind of, your family's going to get hurt,
yeah, and all this sort of shit as well. And I mean, it was I found it quite shocking, and again, it was a really difficult one. Yeah. You know what? Every time I say that, it just reminds me of Sergeant Topman. The thing is with this Momo thing is I don't know if it's real or fake or
it seems to be a hoax.
Yeah. And it just it
a hoax that almost everybody, like schools and parents. I mean, at my work, I only heard about it yesterday, and I read one thing about it. Walked into my work, and everybody was talking about it. Yeah. And like, there was a horde of sort of like mothers who were like, that's it. WhatsApp's getting taken off their phone or tablet. It's getting taken off. And I was just sort of like, guys, you might want to just hold on a minute because it's absolute nonsense. It's been proven so far to be a hoax.
So the character, it looks like. It kind of looks like if Salad Fingers designed something from A Nightmare Before Christmas, like the character from that. Yeah. It's very strange.
Well, apparently it's a Japanese artist.
Yeah, I've got the image here. It is an image. It's called Mother Bird. It was designed by a Japanese artist called Keisuke Isawa. It looks a bit like this. It's a chicken with a woman's head. Actually, do you know, it looks fucking creepy as shit. Don't get me wrong.
It looks like I've forgotten the
name. This is great content for listeners.
What it is like, if you're listening to the podcast right now, go on your phone, go on your laptop or whatever, and just search for Mother Bird by Keisuke Isawa. And you'll find that is what they've been using as Momo as an
image. Nice and easy to type.
Yeah, Keisuke Isawa, totally.
It looks a little bit like some depictions you get of Japanese ghosts, and I've forgotten the name for them. But Japanese spirits.
Also looks a bit like something that Chris Cunningham would create in a bit.
Looks like
a similar look to that. Yeah.
You know what it looks like? It looks like the girl from The Rings shagged a turkey. pretty much it.
Yeah, it's like dinosaur Samara, basically. Yeah. Like looking at it, it's the kind of thing that my brother Ben would love to have that in his curious cabinet. But like the whole challenge side of things. Yeah. And the getting kids to, it sounds very Black Mirror-esque.
It does. And I think there was things where it was like, at first it was like a message service. You were getting these messages. You were encouraged, somebody would encourage you to sign, like a friend would encourage you to sign up to the, whatever it was, number or the ID. God, I'm so old.
You need your area code for the number, eh?
And remember the one. Remember the it's 01. Remember, there's a one now. So yeah, they do that, and then it had grown arms and legs beyond that it was suddenly just appearing on kids' phones and on kids' phones, not adults' phones, kids' phones. Like there's hackers that know it's definitely a kid that has, you know, that phone and that it's that thing of playing on parents' fears essentially.
Yeah.
And then of course that starts leading to stories lead to schools and like putting out letters and emails to parents.
It's
and
almost as if media will print any old shit without doing any research.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's weird, isn't it?
But it's a
tall tale that got out of hand. Yeah. It's like tall tales get passed around kids all the time. And then when a parent gets involved in that and thinking, oh, this is a real thing, of course you're going to go up to the kid and be like, oh, is this a thing? They're going to say, yeah.
It's the equivalent of like a ghost in the school toilets. Yeah. You know,
like the janitor in Q Block in the front house.
Yeah.
Himself.
Yeah. 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 Like that. Yeah. Or like saying Candyman. Candyman in a mirror three times, and you know that all that kind of stuff, or Biggie Smalls, whichever one it was.
Oh, wow.
Well, this is the sort of stuff you pass around at Halloween.
Yeah, exactly. And it's the kind of playground myth that seems to have just gone. But then in the age of the internet,
kids are passing
around
everything at a party, to be honest.
Not alcohol or drugs, because kids are fucking boring these days.
Yeah,
but then that's because of like really difficult job markets to get into.
Well, it's a generational thing. Every like 30, like it changes all the time. Like the generation, it happens over such time cycle. They're like more boring. Then they're like us.
This, which were fun and cool and great.
Not emotional wrecks at all.
But that's it. It's, but this whole Momo thing is, it seems to be that it comes around, but it's come around to the point where it's like everything's going tits up all over the world.
Yeah.
So there's actual shit stuff happening.
Yeah.
Fucking everywhere. But it's like, oh no, the media jumps on this and just goes, here it is. Forever. So it's like it was put up by, like, I think it's about a week ago, BBC was like Momo and Sky was like Momo, and then fucking 4 years down the line, Dunfermline Press is like, have you heard about the Momo? They're actually promoting it as like, this might be a positive for Dunfermline.
It's almost like that.
Dunfermline delivers, say it'll drive more people to Dunfermline. We're going to have a Momo display.
Like, Dunfermline Press approach issues like that. Like, Jackie Vector was talking about that guy trying to chat up a girl. Was like, here, do you like the PlayStation? It's almost like that. It's like years later, like, here, do you
Do you remember Momo? Mo what?
It does sound like a forgotten like deep house act, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Chicago house.
And the thing is about the Momo thing is this is actually a thing, it wasn't from last year, it's from the year before. So yeah. 2017.
Is that right? Yeah.
This is a thing that's really? Come up
so
before.
Because when it came up, I was like, I think I've seen this, but not a year ago. Mm. I think like a month ago. Yeah. And then it started appearing everywhere, and I was like, oh.
The new fun. Slender Man, really, eh? Because it was like...
Yeah, that's it.
Slender Man kind of came around, it was this thing, it was, you know... It started out, it was a creepypasta it started out yeah, on. It kind of grew arms and legs.
Slender Man film, isn't there?
Yeah. It's the worst movie I've ever seen.
I rely on Dave as my horror movie correspondent who personally recommends horror movies to me.
But the Momo movie will probably come out next year, I'd imagine, on the back of this.
Oh, they would make some millions off of that.
Yeah.
They really would.
It will probably happen.
It'll be on sci-fi.
Yeah. I'll go straight to DVD and it'll be wank and I'll watch it.
A difficult wank.
Momo challenge.
Yeah. Do you think the Fife version of the Momo challenge would be like walking through Kirkcaldy High Street and see if you can survive or your parents will be killed?
I think if you walked through Kirkcaldy High Street, you'd be shut down. Just like everything else.
Yeah. Yeah. There was.
I feel bad about that. It is terrible what we're doing to Kirkcaldy.
No, it is. There was a tweet this morning. Somebody had bought Lemmy's new book, surprisingly down to earth and very funny. His autobiography. And they said to him, had to walk through Kirkcaldy High Street for this. The things you do for a bit of daff, Lemmy. See you in Dundee, brother. I replied to them and just said, I'm so sorry to hear about your brush with death. I hope you don't have any diseases. Thoughts and prayers.
This is why the Fife Independence Movement will never get off the ground, because there's too much division.
Yeah. We'd have our own troubles. Like.
Yeah. I love how we are Scotland's premier Fife based podcast. The spokesperson of Fife. But Kirkcaldy will always get it, no matter what.
Fuck most of Fife, though. Yeah, it's like St Andrews.
Kirkcaldy, St Andrews, Glenrothes. You know, West Fife, most of it's all right, but...
Like Kirkcaldy could have, like, a gold medal Olympian, an Oscar winner, a fucking Prime Minister, all
Kirkcaldy's
that
got fucking everything, as we found out when we were doing the Fife Legends.
Jesus could come back in Kirkcaldy and it would still get it tight.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. It is the law in Fife.
Dirty Wraith.
And if you're in...
We don't even care about football listeners. So yeah. Especially me and Kutch.
But again, COYP. Yeah.
And if you're...
Come on, ye pars!
And if you live in Kirkcaldy, whether you're born or you made the choice to live there, it's your own fucking fault for living in Kirkcaldy.
You're right.
So there's our local segment of bashing Kirkcaldy this week.
Yes. Any of that is, you know, right. You know what's so ironic is, like, we're willing to bash on Kirkcaldy, but there's St Andrews just sitting there, shiny, ready to go. Like, nah,
we'll get to them. We'll
come to them. It's just so far away. It takes so long to get to St Andrews.
Do you know what? It's on the way to St Andrews, though.
What's that?
Cooper.
Oh,
fucking shining little jewel. Maybe in the middle of Fife, I'm not sure.
It's about that, yeah. The corn exchange in particular, yeah.
Totally.
Soon to be the happiest place on earth for a couple of days.
We can't wait. We are obviously talking about the Fife Whiskey Fest again. But you know, we're going to be there next Saturday, so
yeah, it's like Christmas.
I think me and Jamie went through a thorough discussion.
I didn't think you were going to go through the whole list.
Yeah,
we went through the whole thing.
So we went through it all, but yeah, we went through it thoroughly. What are you guys looking forward to?
131 different kinds of whiskies. It's going to be an absolute adventure. That's what I'm looking forward to. It's just like, just go. I don't know where I'm going to start. I don't know who I'm going to start with or what I'm going to have. I'm just going to go on an adventure and just go on a ride of whiskey and come out on the moon.
I'm looking forward to being there.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't going to be there. And if you fucking nailed it. Cheers, that's actually recorded now. Thanks very much, Catch. I like it just now.
Yeah.
And I'm also looking forward to Fisher and Donaldson's Fudge Donut.
Oh.
So I think this time last year, me and you had a little bit of a spat about this.
We had words. Yes.
Yeah, because, you know, I'm a Stevens man to the core.
Do this again.
Yeah. And I absolutely will fight anybody that says anything that isn't Stevens is better.
All right. Then what happened?
But then in December, I found myself in St Andrews and we stopped. And on the way back home, we stopped in Cooper for a bit of lunch and we stopped at the Fisher and Donaldson factory store place. And I got a sandwich, which was quite tasty. It was all right, you know, it was fine. And I got one of their fudge donuts because, you know, you'd said it was better. And I was like, nah, but look, let's see what the fuss is all about. Holy shit, I think I should, like, I came in my pants.
Not a difficult one.
No, definitely not. It is a sublime donut.
Yes.
It's different to Stephen's because the fudge on top, it's not got as much fudge. It's quite...
Well, this is being critiqued.
Oh, yeah, critiqued. Stephen's, it's thick. It's thick and quite rich, where it's on a Fish and Donaldson, it's not as thick. It's just a nice amount. But see that it's not custard or cream. It's like a creme patisserie. Oh, my God. Oh, it's so soft and light and just... Oh.
That's you barred from all Stephen's now. Yeah.
It too, Kutch.
Hey, I still love my Stephen's fudge donut. But, oh my God, there's a special... It was one of those experiences where I can't stop thinking about it.
I was getting it. Told you.
Just on the subject of it too, we'll briefly talk about Brexit, I think.
Yeah.
Because I think the day after, or the day of the Brexit vote, is the Ides of March. Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Theresa May's going to get stabbed.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
In the back.
Hi, guys.
Yeah, I think we'll have made the point the other day we could have had it would have been the Valentine's Day massacre. So, like, which is worse for newspaper headlines.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
Ides of March, that's going to be a good one. Because that's all going to go to shit, isn't it?
Yeah.
What? Right, just a brief chat about it. What do we think is going to happen in the next couple of weeks?
I don't even want to know. It's getting scary. Well,
there
now.
Seems to be more...
It's getting more complicated and scary. It's almost like they're about to give up as well.
The Attorney General's been over in Europe and people seem to think he's going to come back with like something that will be a little bit of legalese that will give Brexiteers enough to vote on the... You know, with the backstop.
Really?
Yeah, he's been there for like the last week just... Doing
just getting
it.
Pissed up in Brussels.
Yeah, bro. Yeah. Saying things too lightly in pubs like conservative ministers.
Just whacking shots of vodka as he goes.
So that's probably going to happen. You also had this weekend Chris Grayling fucking up again. The government's had to pay them... How many millions? I can't remember.
Oh, God, yeah.
They've had to pay...
Euro
Yeah, it was
tunnel.
Euro tunnel.
Yeah.
Because they fucked up the contract and gave it to that company that had no votes. Then Euro tunnel said, well... It was an unfair tendering process.
Yeah.
So the government's just settled with them. And that's what's cost them. How, in any other government, Chris Gerling would be gone 10 times already.
Yeah. Yeah. But in any other government, the government would have been gone 10 times already. It's just mental. There seems to have been a little bit of hope for potential things like extensions and maybe a
second referendum. So I think the general feeling is... You know, this is just from reading journalists and that. But journalists are saying the general feeling is that all of a sudden Remain has become much more likely. As in, yeah, it's become because of Labour changing their stance, because of the independence group, because of everything, it looks like Remain in some form, whether that's just revoking Article 50 or if it's a general election that then leads to a... second referendum or however.
Yeah. Or a referendum that leads to us. I've read a few different things, but I suppose it all depends on the vote and how that goes down. But I think if that vote fails, then it's going to be interesting to see which
one. I wonder if Theresa May is taking this like a third year uni student. You know, when you're doing your dissertation and you're like, you do fuck all for the whole time, you'll drink and piss away, you'll be an utter fanny. Then about 7 hours before the deadline, you go, oh shit, I need to get this dissertation.
I think
back.
That's been
and
Labour
you'll pull
and Jeremy
a bit of magic into that.
Kind of.
To be fair to Penman, he told me this was always the play.
Yeah, he has
done. I thought he was right, but I didn't quite believe it. And
because
then it happened, so...
Yeah, I think his line was that...
It's almost like he's a pro at his politics.
I know, it is almost, eh? But I think the sort of line there was that Labour and Corbyn couldn't be seen to be...
Yeah.
Like
politically, it wouldn't be
against it completely because that you're just going to lose. People.
Whereas now they can say, "I tried."
Yep, we've tried.
May's deal won't work. And so either elect us, we'll try and get our deal through. If it doesn't work, then we'll support second.
It just seemed to be quite weak for that length of time when they were saying, "Oh, we can negotiate a better deal." And it's like, well, "What kind of deal would you negotiate?" And he was
"Because you can't
a better one,
but you can't."
It's been knocked back by the EU.
Well, again, the deal has been the same deal that's been on the table right from the start that they told us.
Yeah.
No.
I think we could, because Labour's one's basically we'll take a customs union as well.
Which
the EU kind of wants. Mm-hmm. And the only thing blocking that really is the
ERG.
DUP and ERG. European Research Group in the Tory party. So I think we could, but I still don't think personally it's good enough. Because it's essentially May's deal with a little bit of legislation to go through to make sure we keep their employment rights and the customs union.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I just wonder how badly fucked we're going to be then. Because it's one of these things where it's like, you don't know until it happens sort of thing.
Mm.
And they're going about like no deals, still a potential and all this sort of stuff. And it's like, I haven't done, well, that's it. I've been quite kind of ignorant to the whole thing. I've not done enough reading on it to actually get an understanding of what it will mean or what it could mean.
Yeah.
So does no deal mean that we'll be totally fucked when it comes to the import of all goods and food and...
Pretty much.
Well, no. It means there'll be tariffs on and it'll take longer.
And the price will go up and the stuff won't come in. So for like potentially...
Stat, like if there's an extra 70 seconds or something, wait for each truck that comes in.
Yeah.
Then
that
you're talking about like days of tailback.
Yeah.
Dover, because we'll have to do tariff checks because we're not a customs union anymore.
Yeah.
So it's, I mean, it probably won't end up being quite that bad, but
it could be. And then there's the whole thing that
I think they keep bigging up no deal to try and, so then if they do set a May's deal, we'll be, oh, thank God we've got this shit deal rather than no deal.
Isn't
that great, guys? And everybody's like, yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
I think that's
you still get loads of folk out there that are like, yeah, let's do a no deal. It's like, why would you want that? Why in your
I think
own
some
talk?
People just want out now.
There's also...
Get us out.
I've noticed there's been a sort of a couple of threads on Twitter where there's a lot of people that think no deal means remain.
Yeah.
Like, genuinely, I think it's people that are probably not following it as intensely, maybe just reading headlines, and that, yeah, they genuinely think no deal means remain. So when people are saying no deal, they're like, yeah, I'm for no deal. I want no deal. So then you get skewed polls because there's people out there going, oh, yeah, no deal's cool. I'm down with no deal. Yeah, great. It's like, no, that's not what that means at all.
Yeah, that means we're essentially gambling.
Yeah.
En masse. A trample bet won't cover that one, telling you now.
I think there's also the interesting thing with the no deal and like the delays and stuff is like if, depending on what they've got stored, if food starts... running out, let's say. I mean, let's say it gets to that point and food starts running out in the supermarkets. Is it something like you're 3 meals away?
Oh, because they're just in time.
Yeah. 3 meals away from revolution, basically. Yeah. Or is it, no, not 3 meals. It's nine meals, I think, sorry. 9 meals away.
I think it's 3 meals. Is it
three?
I think it's the same, yeah.
I thought it was something like 3 days. And if,
maybe it
is. Yeah, and like at the end of day three, if people aren't getting food... That's it.
There are contingencies in place. Yeah. It's just that I don't think.
Well, they've got the military getting ready to go as well, aren't they? Just like,
yeah, but
get those care packages.
And the Home Secretary's got like warehouses full of Viagra as well.
I know.
Apparently, for himself. I don't know what.
I know from speaking to people in the military. There's been news stories of we've got this many troops ready to go. Apparently that number has been the same since like 2010 or 2011 or something.
Right, yeah.
And it's like a general terrorist bit of legislation.
Uh-huh.
And they always have that number of people
ready to go. Just in case shit
who
goes
like,
down.
Yeah. Or your leave's canceled. You're all on.
Yeah.
So it's not actually a change. So they're like, it's not really a change.
Yeah.
It's just they're ready to activate it. That's all.
Yeah. I feel like we may have talked about this before, but I love how we're in the age. We have the tools to make the most knowledgeable decisions, yet we make the shittest decisions possible.
But it's because it's put to the public. The public.
The thing is, as well, is the fact that they try and give you a choice and then they go, right, your choice is we can either stay with what we've got just now or we can leave. Because if we leave, we'll save however many millions of pounds. So it's like, obviously going to go, that's a great choice then.
Yeah.
See, is.
That
and it's like,
much
oh no, sorry. We lied to you about shitloads of stuff. But that's fine.
Yeah.
And it's like,
but there's a problem. There is a problem with that line of thought as well of the. That people voted because they didn't know what they were voting on, you're essentially calling them stupid. And a lot of people who did vote leave would potentially argue the fact that didn't change their mind.
But, there will be a number of them that did vote on...
Yeah, but I think there's certainly on the left side, there is a bit of a fucking stupid leave voters. They voted because of the bus. They all voted leave because of the bus. Yeah. And that...
No, because some of them voted because they're racist.
and not because of, like, you know, economic conditions where people have seen their living standards decline.
Yeah.
Relative living standards decline.
I mean, we have the misfortune of not being able to see it all play out before we can vote it as well. So,
yeah,
it's a tough call.
Like, yeah. Well, it's like, don't knock it till you've tried it. Is that right?
Well, we didn't do it the first the last time when we did it, the Scottish Independence Bowl. It's just like, nah. Well,
so we'll try this one and see that. Oh, no.
Well, speaking of people telling political lies, I've had Michael Cohen this week giving evidence.
Oh, yeah.
And, oh, boy, did he ever.
Yeah, I sat and watched. I watched it up until the first break. I didn't realize he went on for 7 hours. I watched like the first hour or two. Shit. And I was like, holy.
A long time of just answering questions, giving statements, and
it was all very what's impressive. So a lot of the stuff he said is like, okay, we probably suspected this, but now he's got documents and we've got witness.
Well,
we just put
a quick bit of background.
Michael Cohen. Sorry, I just dived right into it. Yeah.
Michael Cohen was basically Donald Trump's fixer for X amount of years and throughout the campaign is involved in all
the
dodgy shit.
He was the fall guy in a sense, wasn't he?
Ah, he's been the fall guy. He's been the person that's go down, and he's clearly just got sick of being the fall guy, of taking the blame for everything.
Yeah. He was also one of the managers of Elite XE. Remember that?
Yeah, oh, God, yeah. Wow.
That's why the FBI went knocked on Fedor's door last year. And everyone's like, what the fuck is happening?
It was all connected to Trump,
For MMA fans, are a little link to how fucking nuts our sport is. Anyway.
He was arrested and basically has been given evidence and whatnot. Yep. He's singing like a canary.
And he's still going to jail, but he might get reduced time.
Yeah.
So,
well, that was it. And it was Donald Trump's response to it was...
Christ. I know that the whole thing's been put out as well in like document paper format.
Yeah.
Mm. And I were just waiting for the string of... like the tweets that have already been, but it will just be like endless for the next week.
There's someone holding him back right now. Like, he's like, no, get away from your phone right now. Don't you dare tweet.
his response was, because he was over in
was it Korea?
Vietnam, yeah.
Vietnam having the summits with Kim Jong-un.
Yeah.
Which seemed to go really well.
But, it's almost as if the president lost legitimacy while he was in the middle of a negotiation. And so didn't get anything. It's weird. Fucking weird.
It's odd to have.
He was probably never going to get it. Well, they were going to sign up. They were going to sign a fucking a memorandum of like, you know, of something. And then there was no signing. And all the journalists just got told to like go over there quick for the press conference. And that's it.
Yeah. That was it. Done. It was like, it was supposed to be a whole day of events and it wasn't even 5 hours.
Yeah. Well, it's like those two in a room and trust Kim Jong-un more.
Yeah.
Okay.
But he's the sensible one in this situation.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was
a prostitute in Vietnam said, Mr. Trump, me so horny, me pee on your bed.
Is there a videotape?
Yeah, the Russians have it. Was it Krumstadt? Whatever it is, compromising.
Yeah. So it was Trump's response to everything that Cohen said as well, and he was saying, the only thing he's actually told the truth about is that there was no collusion with the Russian government. Everything else he's lied about. And he was like, which surprises me.
What? He's like, I don't know why he lied.
Like, that was it. And he was like, he may as well have lied about that too, and said that we did collude with the Russians. And it was just like, ah, oh, mate, like...
Cut's just trying to hide his rum drinking from you just now, listeners, just like Cohen did. he was holding the bottle away while he screwed the cap back on, but you could clearly hear the glug of rum, and now satisfying coke noise as the coke goes into his rum and coke. Lovely.
We can use that.
So yeah, he's fucked it.
Yeah.
And yeah.
I can't believe he signed a check. I believe the check was to pay off Stormy Daniels as a.
Like hush money.
Was that the same one?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
To pay off Stormy Daniels, as a. Put her on a retainer, essentially. But so, first of all, you can't do. That would go under campaign financing. We're in the campaign, and she wasn't. So that's fucked on that. And then he signed a check to go to her. When he was president.
Yep. Yeah.
When he was actually president.
I didn't know that.
It's like the rest is bad enough.
Did the money also not come from the foundation? The charity side?
I'm confused because he bought a painting with money from his foundation.
Yeah,
so I'm not sure if the money for Stormy Daniels, it might have done, but there's not much of it.
Was it not his own account that went to Stormy Daniels? I'm sure I heard that.
The painting was the one that he tweeted about saying, oh, look, it went for, what was it, like 60,000 or 600,000, something like that.
It's not a painting of himself.
Yeah, a painting of himself. And it was like, it was the most expensive, it was the one that was, you know, that went for the highest amount and you know, all of this. And he was boasting about it. You know, look, this is how much people love me. And it turns out that he bought himself. And he, like, he told them to pay the highest, make sure it was the highest price.
You fucking know it will be. It's like, you walk in, it's right there. Yeah,
and
right
that was
him.
The foundation that did it. Yeah,
he's well known for calling up, doesn't do it so much these days, but calling up journalists and pretending to be someone else.
Yeah,
talking about how great Trump is.
Yeah,
there's a letter is it the New York Times or the New Yorker or something from like the 90s or the 80s, and it's him just like, it's clearly, it's like, here's the source talking about it, and it's so clearly, it's like just Trump style. It's like holy
there's like three pseudonyms that he's got that uses when he's writing or talking to the press, and there was an article I read and it was like pages and pages long, but really interesting about each of these pseudonyms and who they would speak to and when they would speak to them, and that pretty much a lot of the reporters cottoned on very quickly that it wasn't a spokesperson, it was actually Trump that it was coming from.
It's
and he just bigs himself up.
It's alright, guys, he'll just start a war in Iran because like American presidents who are at war are much less likely to lose votes. So he'll just do that.
That's
and
so true.
It'll be fine.
And another 4 years.
And the Democrats will tear himself apart with their billion candidates for president.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bernie again.
Well, he's going back in it, isn't he? He's a glutton for punishment, isn't he?
Yeah.
I wish Ocasio Cortez could stand, but she's not old enough.
No, I know.
Did you see that video of her like totally breaking down the system of the government?
Also, her questions to Cohen as well, which potentially could lead to getting Trump's tax returns. She went in and there was no grandstanding speeches or anything like that. She had 5 minutes and she asked like, what was it, four or five straight to the point questions, but they were very like tactical questions to basically give the lawyers enough to actually start going for Trump's tax returns.
The thing is, though, it just seems to be that like liberals seem to be a bit more focused on attacking Trump as opposed to actually come up with like an idea as to
how to get
rid of him. Yeah, actually, like to be able to kind of take the position.
It does
themselves.
Seem
that
to
be like fair. Comes Cortez, with the other does it not?
Yeah, really? Ocasio Cortez has been like Green New Deal.
Yeah,
which I think is just sensible politics and actually has a lot of support if you look at polls.
Yeah,
but a lot of Democratic politicians are like, oh, they'd never work in America. We need that here, to be honest, as well.
Yeah,
well, we talked about this last week, how it was like an idea here and it went over to the States and it's been brought back here as an American.
Green New Deal, emergency climate action as well.
Yeah,
it's all the shit that's been needing to be done all over.
And you create loads of jobs and everything.
But instead, we'll get bogged down in Brexit, we'll get bogged down in attacking Trump and Cohen and all that.
And then he'll be back in for another 4 years.
And then in 8 years' time, the seas will be so toxic that life won't be able to be supported, insects will start dying off, and we're fucked!
Hooray!
It was 20 degrees in February.
Global warming's not real. It has been a ridiculously warm month, hasn't it?
Just think, this time last year, we were doing Snowmageddon cast.
Yeah. Well, that was it, yeah. Like, what, second week in March or something like that? Although that could still fucking happen. There's every chance that could happen.
A year ago to the day, it was Beast from the East hit.
Was it a year ago to the guy? Because it was the first weekend in March because that was Comic Con.
Yeah. I was down in Surrey.
And we didn't go.
I've been down in Surrey with work for the last few days.
God, that's right, because Comic Con was this weekend and the beer fest, the whiskey fest was the next weekend. Yeah, it was supposed to be our run of events and then we had one.
We've got events coming up.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Oh, hi, March.
Hello, March.
Don't you fucking dare.
Well, we've got a couple of things as well, just on that note, because we've got Whiskey Fest next week.
Yeah.
And then the following week will be our 100th episode, or the week after that. I think, is our 100th episode.
We've got really big plans for that.
Yeah, we were talking about it last week, so I think just again.
Who they're bringing in, Dave? It's a star-studded event.
Sweet. Who we got?
Brock Lesnar, like I said last week.
Just going to come and get really woo!
It's us and some other people that listen to us if they want to come join us.
How do they do that?
Jamie, how do they do that?
Well, they can speak to us on our website at www.fiveclub.co.uk. Email ken@fiveclub.co.uk, Instagram 5club, Twitter @5club, Facebook.com/fiveclubpod, or just fucking Google it.
Yeah.
Actually wasn't aiming for the socials there, but
no, but I realised we hadn't done really them, so well. Let's just slide it in.
What's the plan then? What are they doing? What's going on?
So we're going to, well, again, if anybody wants to do it, please contact us. We're going to do a little bit of a live call-in, although it won't be live.
That would be a fun one.
We're going to get folk to call in and chuck us a fight. Chuck us something that they would take to the island, either on one of our themes or just something that they think that needs to be in.
Well.
Yeah, give us a topic or a question.
That'd be good.
So yeah, looking for sort of 6-7 folk to come and chat with us that night.
Yeah.
And I want to try and see if I can get as many of us together as possible.
Yeah.
So we can really fucking do this.
We'll get all 100 of us together.
Yeah.
That's it. The Fight Club 100 is
100 episodes, 100 hosts. Yeah.
We can make it like the film 300, but with 100 people, and it's folk from Fife, and we just march all the way to Kirkcaldy.
So, yeah, if you've been listening and you've thought of a fight while we've been talking about it, if you've been listening and you've wanted to argue back to us about a topic.
We get told that a lot.
Yeah. Especially.
I started arguing with you.
Yeah. Especially, especially like our friends that listen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, they quite often tell us that they start arguing with us and then realize we're not there.
I look forward to some of your Twitter interactions, getting back in touch for that episode. Like, I'm going to get him now.
I'll get those kids I got to do the Momo challenge.
Oh, God, yeah. But yeah, I think that's really what we're looking
to do.
That's
a fun sounding episode.
Should be a good fun. So yeah, again, get in contact with us. Let us know and we'll add you to the roster and we'll let you know when we'll do it. And
we'll have a bumper episode.
Speaking of awkward interviews, did anyone see the new Alan Partridge this week?
Oh God, yes. Been so excited for it.
Yeah.
So good.
How did you watch it?
Yeah.
You hadn't watched it last time I spoke to
you. Have you seen it?
Right. Okay.
Oh, did you?
Someone else
has spoken to it. Sorry.
So I have a confession to make.
You've not seen it?
I have not seen any Alan Partridge.
Any Alan Partridge?
That's the age difference, though.
Yeah, I think
it's been there. I just haven't watched it.
But see, whereas I think with us, it was a staple of a Friday night, maybe. BBC Two.
I've seen like the odd clip and like people talk about it and things like that. So I kind of get some.
Growing up with things like Day to Day, as well, and then Knowing Me, Knowing You.
Was it Coogan's Run as well? Was that his sketch?
Because
that was it. I don't think I would have watched Alan Partridge if it wasn't for the fact that I had older brothers. Because I was kind of
too
young to really get it when it was first on.
Yeah,
and then
I watched a little bit of Knowing Me, Knowing You, but I was too young for it. I'm Alan Partridge.
Yeah, I'm Alan Partridge. Yeah.
I didn't get the awkwardness, and I think that's what missed on me at first when I first watched it. And I watched it again when I was like 17.
There's the age difference again, because I'm just a couple of years older than you, Jamie, 2 years older. And Day to Day was something that, I mean, I was quite young when watching it, but it was something that my cousin would record.
Mm.
So there was a couple of things, the Mary Whitehouse Experience.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And the Day to Day were two programs. I remember Mary Whitehouse Experience, like try to watch that every week. I had a wee TV in my room. I would go upstairs on a Friday and sit and watch all the comedy. Mary Whitehouse Experience coming on and my mum coming up, and I can't remember what the sketch was, but it was way above what I was watching. Yeah. And she banned me from watching TV on a Friday night upstairs.
That was your Momo challenge.
Yeah, that was my Momo challenge, yeah. But what was brilliant was that we would go to my cousin's like every fortnight or something like that on a Saturday, and my cousin would record them all, and then we would be downstairs and we would just sit and watch all the TV I couldn't watch. So Day to Day was one of those, and then when Knowing Me, Knowing You came on, that was definitely part of my upbringing. So yeah, like Alan Partridge. What I will always say about this is what really fucks me off about it all is that Steve Coogan acknowledges the fact that he's Alan Partridge, and I wish he wouldn't, because Alan Partridge has a genuine career.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the thing.
They played up with that this week by sending an email to all BBC staff.
That moment would have been even better.
I am one of your colleagues, as evidenced by my official BBC email address.
Sent out a genuine email to like 22,000 people.
Clearing the air.
It is that if he just kept it as a character piece and never acknowledged that he was actually it, and if people asked him, then that would be that. I'm going to kill a cat.
Yeah.
Do you want to go and open that door? Because he's clearly being a dick. Sorry, guys, we've got a cat scratching at my door.
I was going to say, it's like, that's quite the tangent we just went on.
So, Jamie's just leading them through the house.
I almost want to say, so Kutch, what?
What's he doing? Right, that's fine. Just leave the door open because he'll scratch that in a minute.
Did it. I was going to say, I was like, Kutch, what about Alan Partridge makes you want to murder felines? That's what I was wondering.
So Alan Partridge, yeah, I just wish he would not acknowledge it because it'd be a great character piece.
So can I ask a question? Is like someone who's never watched them. What would you recommend a first timer to watch and kind of to start me off?
Like, I'm Alan Partridge.
Yeah, I'm Alan Partridge. Or knowing me, knowing you.
Or I'd go. I don't know, I'd actually recommend these days because it's a bit more up to date. Is the
Men More Than Matters.
Was that the film?
No, the only other one you haven't mentioned. Welcome to the Places of My Life.
Oh, yeah, which is like the Sky Atlantic one. Yeah,
yeah, it's like a Norwich a Norwich travel tourist thing. It's,
I'd forgotten about that one, actually.
There was a guy this
the one-off special.
Yeah. It was BT I was talking about, I haven't seen yet. There was a guy this week who went viral for, you know, I can't remember where he was from, Chester or something, I don't know. But it was like an accidental Partridge, which is a great hashtag on Twitter. Listeners, you should follow it. It's usually Richard Madeley.
who is I think, yeah, like, the last couple of weeks after seeing him on GMB.
Oh, it's glorious.
He is absolutely the basis of Partridge, yeah, isn't he?
Him and John Inverdale.
Yeah.
They mentioned John Inverdale in something the other day with Partridge, like the writers. But anyway... I've completely forgot where I was.
You were recommending places Norwich
to watch, and you'd said something to BT about somebody.
Oh yeah, so it was that guy. It was that if you basically Google accidental Partridge, listeners, and then something like tourist, it'll come up, and it's this guy just being an absolute smarmy but shit presenter, like local celebrity guy. It looks so funny. It's absolutely brilliant, and the new show was just so well done.
Yeah,
it's so well written.
It's the perfect format for modern Partridge as well. It's basically the idea of the show. It's like the One Show.
Yeah,
yeah, where it's like a magazine style.
Oh, it's called This Time with Alan Partridge.
And it's magazine style, very much One Show, like clips and then sort of hot topic, you know, debates
so
and stuff.
So does this get presented as an actual show rather than like a show about the show?
It's both. So you see the show, but then when they go to like, you see bits like before they go on air and you see stuff when they do packages, they're talking to each other as well.
So you're kind of seeing a bit behind the scenes, but mostly the show.
You're just seeing it from the studio perspective though. That's the only thing.
Whereas like... First one, Me Knowing You, is his talk show, and it's like a sort of Wogan style, talk about Wogan Parkey style talk show. And it's done very much as that. And then like the last episode is the one with the guy with the gun, and that's how he ends up off the BBC, isn't it?
He kills someone who's later shoots someone who's cleared of all charges.
It's absolutely brilliant. But then the following series, like I'm Alan Partridge, kind of follows the downfall of Partridge and him trying to...
Where he goes to local radio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's living in a luxury travel tavern.
So good. So good.
Yeah.
And there's just so many, like, the stuff that we say to one another day on day, isn't there? Like quotes and bits that are just classic Partridge and that. But it was a good show. Definitely, and I hope it remains as consistently good. Have you read the autobiographies?
I listened to it.
Yeah.
I didn't hear actually, it, I didn't do the second one, Nomad, but yeah.
Yeah.
Does he actually read them as Alan Partridge?
Yeah. And again, the thing is that the autobiography follows his career because he's had a career. It's so good.
That's
it's
mental.
So good.
Like a character has had an actual career.
Yeah. I started on a sports journalist on the day to day.
Yeah. On the hour.
On the hour.
On radio. Yeah. Totally. It's like he's genuinely had a 30-year career.
Yeah.
That is absolutely insane. Yeah. Like that character development and all that. That
It's the fact that like he had kind of, he was like, nah, that's it now, I'm done with Partridge, there'll be no more. And then it was two guys that got in touch with him and sent him a script. And they were like, listen, this is Partridge, we've written it, see what you think. And he was like, yeah. And that was the special for Norwich. It was, so he's been writing with those and guys in order to resurrect Partridge again. So,
well, he's also, so like, he's had so much great comedy talent write for him. Like, On the Hour was mostly Herring.
Lean Herring, Chris Morrison, and Amanda Annucci.
Then they took over more with Patrick Marlborough for when they moved to TV for the day to day. And then the new guys are having writing. And Emanuichi was heavily involved for Alan Partridge.
Yep.
And then the new guys who have been doing it basically since when Morning Matters.
Yeah.
Are just, they understand the characters so well.
Yeah.
And they've done the film, they did the books, they've done the Scott Atlantic.
They section, also, they're well, also brothers. Guys that are not far off ages with us.
Yeah, yeah.
Who so like, have like grown and grown up with them. So yeah it's, known a character that well. It's good. And I, Fife Club seal of approval.
Ah, give it a watch.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah. James, watch it.
I'll catch up.
The thing is that it's not hard as well because it's BBC series. It's like what?
Yeah,
couple of episodes per series.
It'll be in some questionable means anyway. Yeah. So I'll find it somehow. I'll try and catch up. That's years of stuff I've got to try and catch up on.
There's a shitload of stuff to watch.
But once you start.
Yeah. It's like a rabbit hole.
Yeah. It's like Pringles.
It's, yeah. So like TV shows.
Mostly not made of potato.
I was just going
like
to say.
TV shows, autobiographies.
Cancerous.
And all this stuff like that. My God.
Anyway.
Please don't sue us, Pringles.
No, sponsor us, Pringles.
We're getting on with time, and I've actually kind of veered away from some of the things that we decided we're going to talk on.
Oh, right, yeah. Sorry, I kept doing links.
No, it's fine. It's been good. So that's how this works sometimes. So... Will we go and do a little Fantasy Fight Club?
Yeah.
Ring, ding, ding, ding.
Cool. Welcome, one and all, back to the specially constructed imaginary nine-sided nonagon for another Fantasy Fight Club. I suggest you all settle in, for we have another tremendous fight card for you good folk out there tonight. If you're not familiar with the format yet, then I shall explain. Each of us pits two fighters into the nonagon to battle. These fighters can be anyone or anything. We then mull over their faults and merits and how we think the fight would go. We then all decide on a winner. So let's get ready to ramble. I had my bit of paper, I was able to do it with pizzazz and not try and remember it and fizzle out halfway through.
Heard of you.
That's what it's meant to be like every week, and it's like that every, like, 9 weeks.
Kutch's catchphrase, I forgot to write this bit.
It has been recently, really has been.
Says you who writes nothing.
Hey, you wrote our trailer for us.
I did. It took me all of literally 1 minute.
We need to do some new ones.
Oh, do we?
Yeah, okay, cool. We need to update them.
I'll do it.
So we'll do that at some point.
I'll write this one. It may or may not end in the words, it was a difficult
one. I think somebody's got a new catchphrase.
Get that on a t-shirt. Yes.
T-shirt, your face, it was a
club.
Difficult.
Fife Club.
It's been a while, so you know what, Dale, if you're listening, there you go. It was a difficult wank. Now go and create.
Actually, Dale, that is all entirely up your road as well. Dale, I'm pretty sure you could come up with something
Momo
amazing.
Done.
Momo in a difficult wank.
Momo wanking.
It's like a Harry Potter. It's like a Harry Potter film. Momo in the difficult wank. Coming to bookshops.
Maybe
near
Momo
you.
Would be great at giving head because it's just like legs and then a head just going. Up
Jimmy's,
and down like this.
Yeah, Jimmy's rocking back and forward in a really disturbing fashion.
But all I can think of is Momolum, but that's very different.
Just as Northern Ireland peace agreement's about to fall apart. It's on topic in so many ways for his podcast.
Oh dear. So, absolutely off topic, we're going to do a fight club about the Oscars this week, because we've done Desert Island Dicks last year, and my remaining memory of that is pour diesel in my arse.
He's a man of many talents.
Fucking method actors. We're talking about Daniel Day-Lewis, in case you haven't listened to that one, and if you haven't, go back in the archives and listen to this time last year.
That's a good episode, actually.
It is, yeah. We did a Desert Island Dicks.
It's a weird one.
And it was all based around the Oscars.
Very abstract at points.
I can't remember. Good one, Jimmy. spilled water all down himself. Yeah. The year before, I can't remember if we did an Oscar Fight Club or whatever, but fuck it. We're recycling content, so here we are.
This is how the Oscars should be decided, but they're not encourageable enough to do it.
No.
That's not a word.
Encourageable?
They're not brave enough.
They're not
to do
courageous.
It.
Yeah.
Courageous enough. Yeah,
yeah, courageous. That's
although
the word.
Courageable will stick now.
Courageable.
Are you saying they should have the Oscar hanging from from the top of a cage, and then you've got ladders, and then you've got the nominees have to fight it out?
That's far too WCW. Let's just take away the cage and just put a ladder in a briefcase, and then.
Ah, okay.
I like it. Slow motion ladder climbing.
People fall on the steps every year. Imagine how many falls you'd have on the ladders.
Jennifer Lawrence would be fucked.
So, we're going to do a wee Oscar-themed fight club. Does anybody want to go first?
Yes.
Oh, Dave, you're not the one I thought.
Well, I know what fight you're going to do. I can sense it.
Yeah, I mean, my old favourite. You know what I mean? I brought him to the island last year.
Now, oh, God, right, okay.
Daniel Day-Lewis is a man of many talents, one of which is acting.
Cobbling as well.
He's a cobbler. He's also now a dressmaker. He's a butcher.
Yeah. We have turned him into a boat.
He's a boat.
He's a speedboat on a jetty.
I think he's also a volcano.
He fucking is. So Daniel Day-Lewis is you know, one of the finest method actors in the world. Like, yeah. You know, there's no argument about
it. Of our time, yeah.
Yes. Another damn fine method actor,
uh-huh,
who was also up for nomination at the Oscars this year, was Christian Bale.
All right.
Who is another, you know, he's fairly well known as being a method actor.
Yeah, for being a fucking difficult pain in the arse method
he's
actor.
He's a weight actor.
Yeah.
He only acts for putting on or taking off weight.
I was going to say, like, as far as method acting goes, it's like he got really skinny for The Machinist, he got quite fat for Vice, and he got really built for Batman.
Yeah.
All within the space of a few months as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's even crazy. He's done a good job of it, and he's also managed to convince the entire world that he was American for however fucking long.
Well, during the whole Batman thing, like, whenever he did interviews, he did it with his American accent.
Yeah, he avoided Welsh at all costs.
Yeah. I'm still waiting for Equilibrium 2.
God, I would love that.
Yeah. It's still one of my favourite movies.
Yeah, if it's on, I'll watch it.
It's one of the best 1984s that I've ever seen. Yeah,
brilliant. It really is.
But you got to think, like, Christian Bale's body is going to fail on him by the time he hits 65 or something like that. The amount of, like, changing his body
drastic
he does.
Changes. Like, yeah. But
how's it compared to changing yourself to a speedboat?
That's just my fight. It's Daniel Day-Lewis versus Christian Bale. And they take many different forms, so we can do whatever form you might think of at that point in time.
So, we're like evolving Pokemon. Yeah.
Shapeshifter versus
Ditto
Bulbasaurus.
Versus Ditto.
This is not your final form.
People may or may not think that I have a favourite actor.
I feel like time's a factor. Like, you need so much time to lose and gain weight, but you also need time to immerse yourself in a career or a lifestyle.
Yeah.
Like, it's who gets to that point first. That's probably where I'm pinning that on, is like, if you had like,
well, I think your weight loss, you know, if you've got an army of people who are, you pay to determine your diet.
And make all your meals for
you. Yeah, adding weight, losing weight's a piece of fucking
but
piss.
But not as much as he did, though.
Yeah,
not
I was going to say, he did.
The level he got himself down to is fucking nuts.
Yeah, he did that on his own, because the director had said to him, I want you to get down to this weight.
Uh-huh.
Like, it was like a healthy weight for him. It was like...
This is for a machinist. Yeah.
Ah, sorry, yeah.
He is fucking gone.
That is
that
hard
health.
To watch.
Yeah. Hideously.
That was like a slice of bread and a tin of tuna every day he lived on for months.
That was it, yeah. And it was to the point the doctor was like, you need to stop living like this. You're going to die. And he was saying it while he was like acting in the movie and stuff. He was forgetting lines because his brain just
shut down, all
sorts of shit, which is fucking awful.
Yeah.
But right, Daniel Day-Lewis he stayed in a wheelchair for like 6 months,
God,
only using his left foot to communicate with people.
Yep. And how great is that film?
I think I've worked out how this fight's gonna go. Daniel Day-Lewis is going to become Christian Bale's dietitian.
It's fine to, well, he could go either way, because it's fine to eat that much, and so he's so big he's immobile.
Yeah, you could do that. You could stop him from moving and then take him out, or you could just starve him to death and be like, oh no, you're doing fine.
We've got you playing a sumo wrestler, who... Haruma Fuji. A good sumo wrestler who hit a guy in a bar with beer bottles and got banned from... Actually, it was banned before that, but he's a fucking nutcase. Yeah, so, yeah. That's a great answer, actually. My thing was going to be, does Daniel Day-Lewis know gunk hitter? Because otherwise, I'm sure he could learn it. But can he learn it while Christian Bale's tried to kill him using gunk hitter?
Yeah.
That's a real test of an actor.
It is.
And you know, your craft under precise statistical
and
fire.
You also know that Christian Bale knows gunk hitter.
Yeah.
But, like, he woke up one morning and looked up, and whoever his partner was at the time, he just stared at them and went, I know Gungara.
Show me.
Stop trying to shoot me and
because
shoot
me. Equilibrium was 100% a film that jumped on the back of The Matrix.
Yeah, I think we said this on the podcast before, but Equilibrium is pitched as, 1984,
for
it's The Matrix.
Matrix.
Yeah.
But you know what? What a great fucking pitch.
Yeah, it's brilliant. I mean, that's the thing. Like, you might not know Gungara, but he was Nathaniel Poe / Hawkeye in The Last of the Mohicans.
Oh,
and to be read for that movie, I think he lived outside and learned hand-to-hand combat with Native Americans
for
8 months.
So, did he?
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
What a man. Yeah. He has lived a life that is definitely not his own.
I suppose he'll have the Gale as his walking music as well, which is a tune.
That is a tune,
Yeah, so, I mean...
Although, also, like, Christian Bale could probably shout the living shit out of him, though.
Oh, I don't know. Have you seen There Will Be Blood?
True. Yeah. I was just thinking of like Christian Bale all the way through Batman.
Yeah, that's fair. Just really,
just like eat gravel for a month and then I'm Batman.
What if it was the Christian Bale from American Psycho?
Oh,
that's a totally different ball game.
Do you like Huey Lewis in the News?
Similar
to Bill Cutting from Gangs of New York.
Yeah.
Similar. Like Gangs of New York, and it got really like
loads of people
hated it at the time.
People were saying it was quite kind of like melodrama style.
It is, but it sort of
was that not also the first return of Daniel Day-Lewis after he retired the first time?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's retired from it.
He's retired again, and I'm sure he'll be back. He'll be back. He's probably retired because he's got to go away and live the life of, I don't know.
Yeah, he'll be going living in
a gramophone cleric to learn Gungara.
And then, you know, and then there's the other
thing. He's on the
Oh, wow.
Deep cuts for Equilibrium fans.
I'm just going, you're going deep.
Great
I fucking love that film.
Not to break it down too far and get too meta on this, but we could do it in another angle where you could have Daniel Day-Lewis as Lincoln, and then you could have...
Christian Bale as Dick Cheney.
Dick Cheney. Someone who has a history of being shot against someone who has a history of shooting
that
people.
Would balance the gun cutter. Well, like, if you get shot,
would it though? Because Abraham Lincoln was Abraham Lincoln was an undefeated. What wrestling was it again? You know what? I can't remember off the top of my head.
Yeah.
It was something like he was undefeated in something like 300 matches.
Well, somehow, just a bit off topic, but BBC Scotland's first show on their channel was A Night at the Theatre, managed to be worse than Abraham Lincoln's. I watched like 5-10 minutes. I was like, nope. The intro thing they did with Churches was all right, but it's not a channel otherwise, actually.
There's a show on it that I started watching a bit of.
They've got The Nine, which is like a news program, and then
it's a drama show based in Edinburgh about hip hop and drugs.
What?
Oh. Yeah.
Is it read by Loki from it? Well, it totally sounds like it.
The guy that's doing the rapping sounds like Solar from Solar Eye from Stanley Odd.
Yeah, Stanley Odd. But, I meant Stanley Odd, not Loki. Loki's fucking. Yeah, sorry, my bad.
It looked interesting. Kirsty didn't seem to like it very much, but I think I might try and go back and catch up with it. It's kind of gritty, proper gritty drama.
They've got a new Still Game, which I recorded, and there's a...
It's wank.
Oh, is it? The last series wasn't good, but the Christmas special was good. The New Year special.
That was from years ago,
actually.
Yeah, see, I watched it. Was it an old one?
Yeah, it was an old one.
I just never seen that one.
It was a good one.
It was good. I thought they'd gotten better again. Shit.
Nah. I watched the most recent one had some little kid in it called The Lone Wolf. It was just some fucking little posh accented. Do you remember Fergie from the first episodes of Still Game?
Yeah,
the proper Ned. Aye, nothing like that now. It's this little well spoken.
I didn't see the last series.
The last series
was wank.
Yeah. But that was the first comeback series, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Do we think it should have just stayed away?
Yeah, I think it was.
I think I would have been okay with like a New Year special.
Maybe one or two one-offs and a couple of live shows or something.
There's a comedy show I'm recording tonight. I can't remember what it's called, but on BBC Scotland. I'm going to give that a watch. But it's been all right. Like, I've caught bits and pieces here, and it's actually like there's bits which clearly aren't made for me, and that's fine, and that's okay. But there's other bits. The Nine, the new show, was surprisingly not shit. Some interesting reports.
Do you know what I'm gonna say here, right? Away from BBC Scotland to the other long-standing BBC channel based in Scotland, BBC Alva. It is actually all right. There's some good shows on it. Now, obviously you have to read subtitles if you don't speak Gaelic, but because Silent Producer has been learning Gaelic recently, we've been watching a lot of that channel. There is a sketch show on it called Funk, and it's an entirely Gaelic sketch show. It seems to be based up in like Stornoway in the islands, but it is brilliant because they absolutely get the difference between the Gaels and like non-Gaels, essentially, and island life and that. And At first, I thought it was going to be really kind of terrible, but actually the writing on it's really good, and they nail it. They nail the difference between the two worlds and how there is actually, you wouldn't think there's a big difference because most Gaels can speak English these days, but it's good. I'd recommend
show,
it.
I just want a show where you go clubbing in Glasgow with Dotter Man. Peeled off his fucking face.
How did we go from Bales to Gaels?
He brings it back.
I'm going to call this one. So I'm going to go for Gun Catatote and Christian Bale.
Oh,
as Dave, no friends to me anymore.
I'm done. Fucking done.
I'm going to go for Christian Bale as well because, again, Gun Cata, and he was Batman.
Yeah, that's true.
He was Batman, actually.
And, you know.
But then Daniel Day-Lewis could become Batman if he wanted to as well.
But he hasn't.
Who wouldn't beat a mentally ill people if they're a billionaire? Batman's cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Daniel Day-Lewis. I think he'll outwit Christian Bale. Plus, he's got a boatload of diesel up his arse.
You don't fuck with that. I'm obviously going to go for Daniel Day-Lewis. That was a plan all along.
So we're in a draw.
It's a draw.
Ah, well.
Or let's call it a double KO to be more exciting.
Okay, fair enough.
That's a respectable
Let's go
result.
With that. Right. So I've got one for us. It'll be fairly quick, I think. But I'm going to take two of our winners this year. I'm going to go with the unexpected winner, I think, of the... was it?
Best Actress.
Best Actress, yeah. Olivia Colman. I didn't see that coming. Nope. Absolutely did not. I don't think she did either. Like I did not see much of the Oscars, but I saw her speech where she was just like, I've got an Oscar.
Hilarious.
Yeah, like what? yeah, didn't see that. Like I don't know. I hadn't heard any Oscar buzz for The Favourite. I'd heard buzz for it and people saying that it was quite a good film and everybody in it was really good, but I don't know. I suppose I hadn't expected that. And then the other one that I'm going to put in against her is is Best Male, Rami Malek.
Mr. Robot.
Yeah, Mr. Robot / Freddie Mercury, which I'm actually surprised because that film seemed to get a lot of slating.
Yeah.
I think, like, I was saying just, well, like, we were off recording. It was like... No, I've not seen it either, but as soon as that film came out, it was just like, oh, he's definitely going to win it then. It was nothing against him. I can imagine that he's a really good performance, but it was
I saw
the build on it.
I saw some photos, and I think the photos obviously were very specifically taken photos, but he looked the part a bit on the short side, but he certainly looked the part.
Well, it was meant to be Sacha Baron Cohen.
Who decided that the story was shit and that wasn't the Freddie Mercury that he knew. So, I think there was a lot of... bad blood there, but and then also, you know, it being directed by Bryan Singer, who is cancelled.
You've seen it, Dave.
Yes.
So what was your thoughts on
it? I think the movie, I really enjoyed it. Yeah, I did. And I think more because I'd be interested to see it now. It's still in the cinema somehow, but I'd be interested to see it out with the cinema because we went to go and see it there and it kind of culminates in the epicness of Live Aid. Mm-hmm. And they do the full recreation of their 15 or 20 minute live
set,
slot. And it's amazing. So well done. So well, like apart from the crowd, which is in squares, nobody else has pointed that out, but you can see it's replicated squares.
Yeah, right.
But other than that, it's fine. But yeah, like the character itself of Freddie Mercury played by Rami Malek is quality. Like he does a really good job of it and you start kind of feeling for the character and stuff. But along with that, it's just like, that's a wig. That's a wig. Mm. It's a wig. That's a wig too. Some of the costumes and stuff I thought let the movie down a bit. And I don't know if that won best movie or not. I don't know.
No, I don't think so.
Green Room that won that.
It was Green Room,
It's interesting because I think it was a bit of a broken up, like, usually, you know, quite often in Oscars you'll find that there's one film that sweeps or takes a lot of it. But this year it seems to have been, sort of like chopped. choppy all over the place.
I would thoroughly recommend, like, I would recommend watching it, especially like if you like the music of Queen.
Yeah.
Watch it.
Well, that's what people have said, is like, as entertainment, it's really good.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Kind of like musical theater.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you go in for music and be entertained, it's really good.
Yeah.
Which, all right. It can be that.
It's funny as well. And plus it shows bits that you're not really fully aware of the story behind Freddie Mercury and everything as well. Yeah.
Although apparently some of that's been a bit kind of like,
I think some of it's been hammy.
Cleansed.
It's quite hammy in the way that it's like, it's overly camp and overly done and stuff, but it's still really good.
And
it does portray it in quite a good way. Yeah.
I'm going to call this one.
Yeah.
I was about to throw a hypothetical your way, but.
Okay. Go on then.
I was going to say, what if Sacha Baron Cohen did the film? Would he have won an Oscar for it? Obviously, that's just totally hypothetical. It's like, that's because he was going to go to a totally different tangent with that film. He wanted to tell this, like, the stories of Freddie Mercury and just bring that to life. But, like, obviously, Brian May and the rest of them were having none of it.
And Singer, who is just a shit director. He really is. He's not directed, well, apart from X-Men 1.
And even then. He's directed like most of the X-Men films, and the only good one's the first one. Well, like, second one's alright.
And then the one that wasn't directed by him.
Yeah.
The one.
Because like Bohemian Rhapsody feels like a safe way to tell this story, but it's Sacha Baron Cohen, and I think the misconception would be he was going to go down the dark route and try and bring out sort of like skeletons in the closet and things like that. But I think it was more a sort of celebration of celebration of Freddie as a person. There's so many stories behind just what you get in that film that he would have told. I think he could have had a shout.
No, I think so.
The way they did it was more the story of the music of Queen
rather than the story of Freddie Mercury.
And that's what he didn't like, apparently. Yeah. That's why he walked it.
But then I suppose it is that question, is it a Queen biopic or is it a Freddie Mercury biopic?
Yeah. Yeah. But then you can't.
And it sounds like it's more of a Queen biopic with Freddie Mercury as
at the front.
Yeah, it's been the driving force.
It maybe means that we do have a better film somewhere down the line, which is a Freddie Mercury biopic.
Yeah.
Mm.
You think they'll do something like The Jungle Book, like they'll have like two different versions of the same, like with the same name.
But there's entirely the possibility of that existing because there are two different stories there.
Yeah.
So yeah.
All right. Well, I'm calling it now.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'm going to go for Olivia Colman because she's a British comedy actor done good. She was also a bad guy in Doctor Who, Prisoner Zero.
Yeah.
So she'd won.
Yes.
Yeah. She has been in shit tons of stuff.
Yeah.
Like she has.
Claimed.
There's probably Americans who have gone.
Who?
Who? Yeah, like she's just suddenly appeared in films.
She's everywhere on British TV.
Whereas she has honestly had such a journey through
Peep Show and
Peep Show, Green Wing. Peep Show.
Yeah.
Like just so many classic.
And then into Broadchurch as well.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Yeah, Broadchurch.
Yeah.
And like you say, your guest spots in Doctor Who, guest spots in other shows as well, turning up all over the place. She not in some of the Edgar Wright films as well? Like, turned up. Yeah, yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, she is brilliant.
Oh, yeah, she is in Hot Fuzz. She's the.
Yeah.
Oh, I love a bit of manpower.
She's an absolutely brilliant actor. And Rami Malek, I only know him from Mr. Robot, and I've only seen bits of that.
He's good in Mr. Robot. Mr. Robot's just a little bit overbaked. Like, it's well written, but it's a bit too up its own arse. It thinks it's really well written.
Right.
When in reality, it's just well written. But anyway, who'd win?
Olivia Colman.
That's Olivia Colman. And we didn't even speak about The Favourite, but if you are looking for a decent movie to watch, like, as far as good movies go, Bohemian Rhapsody is good if you like Queen. The Favourite's a good movie.
Yeah.
Out of those two, watch The Favourite.
It's not what it's advertised to be. It's not by comedy. It's dark towards the end, but in a personal way. It's good.
So again, there you go. There's a classic situation where we spent 20 minutes talking about Rami Malek and Queen and chose Olivia Colman. That tells you.
Yeah.
Rami Malek.
Tells you everything. Right, who else?
I have a fight. Uh-huh. It's a big one. So this one's more of a conceptual one. You got to use your imagination with this one.
Jump over the moon. Over the moon.
You could on this one. So, you know me, I'm a wrestling fan. I like some stories to go with my fighting. I like things to go a bit weird, a bit crazy, a bit wacky. So I went with two directors. I went with Steven Spielberg versus James Cameron.
Oh.
Imagine the word. And I don't have this. I would put this as don't have it just face-to-face. I would have that as sort of like, what kind of world would they build? What sort of characters would they build to bring into a fight? Because we've got things like Avatar, Indiana Jones,
it would just be two digital laptops smacking each other in the face now, though.
Yeah. it's guys who traditionally were pioneers of using special effects
and
effectively and now have a massive toy box and use them in a bit of a shit way.
Yeah.
So who would use it in the least shit way? Is probably what I'm asking.
It's like, I remember when I first heard about Steven Spielberg. Ian Beale getting Steven Spielberg getting the rights to the BFG and thinking, yeah, holy fuck, yeah, that sounds amazing. The man that made E.T., the man that gave us Indiana Jones with a Roald Dahl property, with the BFG, one of like that and Fantastic Mr. Fox are like one of my all-time favorite books. Mm, like, yeah, stories, just, I mean, I know Roald Dahl has questionable history, yeah, yeah, especially these days, but again, those stories are just they're fucking great.
Wait, what? Oh, he's not a wrong one, is he?
Not a wrong one, just a bit of a racist. And
oh, that's fine. Yeah, I thought it was wrong. You know, <I'm all> racist.
That is actually a terrible thing, just a bit of a racist, but in terms of old British colonials, you know. But yeah, like those books, BFG, just I thought Steven Spielberg, BFG, that is a great combination. The man with the imagination, bring this to life and make an amazing film. The film was wank.
I have not seen
it. I fucking loved it. I thought it was brilliant.
Do you know Mark Rylance, who played the BFG, that whole performance was really good, yeah, but it just wasn't. It wasn't my BFG.
I used to love BFG when I was a kid, and I only saw the trailer for a film, but where, you know, it's just like the book where the BFG goes past and the hand goes in, and it's like, holy shit, I remember this from the book. Yeah.
But then also there's the animated version as well, which I think is a better film. Like, I think that...
Well, the original?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's the thing, is like, there's so many kind of nostalgic childhood memories connected to that as well.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Oh, fuck, we're turning this into BFG versus BFG.
That's like the Iron...
You could have BFG versus the characters from Avatar, because they were big fuckers and all.
Yeah, they were. Avatar's...
Oh, it is wank. But...
I liked Avatar at the time.
I'm going to say, when we went to see it...
Yeah, I loved it.
And I think we've talked about this before. We went to see it at the...
IMAX in Glasgow.
At the Science...
Yeah. Proper
Science
IMAX.
Centre at that, yeah, yeah, the massive IMAX in Glasgow, went for midnight show, and it was you and friend of the podcast Debbie, and Dave as well.
Oh, Dave Clark.
Yeah, he went as well. And we went, and that was the first time I'd been to see IMAX and something at 3D. So I was in like a particular like, whoa, walked in this fucking massive screen, saw the film, and do you know what? Out of all the films that I've seen in 3D, the best film that I've ever seen in 3D was Avatar.
That's because
it was made for 3D.
Yeah.
And they used it for world building. So it had both things here right next to you, but depth as well.
But that's the thing,
is that 3D films are one or the other.
My previous experience of 3D were things like down at Alton Towers or Disneyland, where it was like things coming out at the screen again. It was that sort of like, oh, to make you go. Avatar was not that. It was about pulling you into the film.
Yeah.
So, at like the very start, there's a blob of water like that in the screen, and instantly you're like, oh, I see what you're doing.
Yeah,
you're really kind of trying to draw us in. And you know what, that experience, like, I remember thinking that was a fucking amazing experience, like a cinema experience.
Yeah.
And it did actually set Avatar in my head as like, what a fucking amazing film. Oh, I'd love to see more of this world. And that, then we came away, and do you know what, I have never watched it since.
I've watched it multiple times.
I have never watched it. I've got it sitting there and I've never watched it.
It's very easy to watch because it's like tropes upon tropes upon tropes,
but it really is.
So you just watch it, you're like, Jesus Christ.
I think
Christ,
it was like slowly afterwards thinking about it, it was like, oh, wait, I've seen that story before. And like Unobtainium, oh my god, how like obvious. Call it fucking something else, except for unobtainium. Yeah. Like,
bang the table. This is how it works. When people are sailing on shit you want, you make them your enemy.
It is. And again, a film that was supposed to have sequel after sequel, like straight away, and we are now over 10 years since it came out.
Oh, but it was like five sequels.
It's like 2007, and we've got four sequels coming of a film nobody asked for a sequel for.
Highest grossing film of all time when it came out.
When it came out, yeah. But again.
Oh, no, Avengers will probably be in it. Probably.
But again, that experience. That's what brought you into that experience. And like, I've got to say, and James Cameron has done some of my favourite films. Terminator 2.
Oh, Aliens. Shit. Yes. Yeah, totally. Oh, I keep forgetting he did Terminator. Now,
the Abyss.
Yeah. Abyss is alright as well.
Actually. Aliens.
Yeah, Aliens.
Oh,
no. That's what's
the second
Aliens,
one.
Yeah.
Oh, did you? Sorry, I missed it.
Yeah, Aliens.
The Abyss. What a fucking great film.
Great film. He did some absolute storming films. Titanic.
Yeah.
It's got a quality line in that film. When she gets angry, she goes, "The lady is angry. What to do?"
Thing with Titanic. Have you ever watched it recently?
No.
Yeah. Like, remember how it was like?
I only want to see the bit where the guy hits the propeller.
Yes.
When he
yeah.
That's the only bit.
Do you remember
I want
when
to see
it was like
through just in time for the boat to go down? I was like, "Oh, it's the best."
On the Oscar, on the Oscar thing, like, you know, it won fucking shit tons of Oscars, special effects, and like everybody lauded it for looking so amazing. It looks like a fucking cartoon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really. It's like. It's Cameron went too far.
Whereas interestingly, Jurassic Park, the Velociraptors, still stands up.
Yeah.
Oh, from the original film, yeah. But the CG in the original films, Jurassic Park's amazing. Although that's got nothing to do... Well, that's Spielberg, isn't it?
Yeah, so, Spielberg, yeah.
But yeah.
It was
but
also that film that made George Lucas go, "I can make the prequels now."
Yeah.
I saw Jurassic Park, went, "Holy shit, I can do..." That's, yeah. He said that, it's like, oh,
yeah.
It's maybe fine, maybe it was
then,
a bad idea.
And then again, went too far with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah,
these guys are having. It should be a difficult wank to do special effects, but they're having too far too easy wanks. Yeah. Spraying everywhere.
Star explosion.
Ah. Like, some films are just pure all of their wank. Well, like,
I'm gonna go. I'm calling this already. Oh. I'm gonna go with Spielberg, right?
Yeah.
Because not only is Spielberg a great director, he's a great producer as well. He has done things like Batteries Not Included. He produced that film.
So he did. Yeah.
He produced Back to the Future. Robert Zemeckis directed. He produced, and that, like, those are three of my favorite films.
Things like
and
Super
Batteries
8
Not
well,
Included which, is a story that has
Super
so much heart.
Good. It
Super
could be amazing.
It's 75% amazing.
Yeah.
And then it's like, what the fuck? Like, yeah. Why is this happening?
E.T.
Yeah.
The
I'm going to go.
Goonies?
Again, a produced film. Yeah.
Basically, our childhood lads.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, if you're calling it, I'm going to go with Spielberg.
Yeah, yeah. Spielberg, you sold me on it. It was me about to make the arguments, but James Cameron has Terminator and he's just going to shoot everyone. But yeah,
nah,
it's just
Spielberg.
Spielberg
absolutely.
Wins it every day.
Yeah.
Yep. Right, Jamie.
Do you want me to do one?
Yeah.
There's a time.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Get it done. Yay.
So, my fight, this is a bit tenuous.
Uh-huh.
I had a more thingy one, but this one's better. It's more fun. So, I have a film that won the Oscars, Aladdin. Aladdin, we've recently seen Will Smith as the genie. Another
has anybody else noticed that in the trailer?
Yeah,
he comes out and goes woo. Rick Flair's
the genie would be so we're gonna have Will Smith's genie, because if it's Robin Williams one I might cry, versus a film that unbelievably was nominated for Oscars but didn't win any, so that's as much as I need. Ghostbusters. So it's going to be the Ghostbusters versus the genie, who is essentially a ghost.
I think this is quite straightforward.
Is it the Will Smith genie?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it's fucking.
Yeah.
We're just going to put the trap down
and just get him.
Yeah, take him straight away.
They won't even need the photon beams. There'll be
brilliant.
Nothing else.
Like, get in.
Get the trap. Get in the trap and you'll go.
Yeah. That's what I like, short and sweet, because I was originally going to do Will Smith as either Men in Black Will Smith versus genie.
But then
Will
I was
Smith.
Just going to say,
or
like,
as I Am Legend Will Smith.
Right. Here's a question. So. Aladdin, there's that weird thing about the Aladdin film where Robin Williams Aladdin, Robin Williams genie in Aladdin makes references to modern pop culture.
Yeah. You saw my thread on this recently. That has annoyed, or did you not? It's in
no,
Facebook
I don't think
group.
So, yeah.
Right, okay.
But
I'll go into this, because this is, I think you're going into the same thing.
Right.
I have a person, so that has annoyed me since I was a kid.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait a minute. If the genie has future knowledge and he knows all these things in the future, then he knows that Aladdin's going to set him free. So either he's just like, grooming Aladdin to set him free, to make it happen. Or even worse, the emotional heart of the film's completely ripped out because he's just a passive bystander who knows exactly what's going to happen. Just let it happen. So him and Aladdin don't even have a real fucking connection.
Yes!
Right? Now, I recently... So that's always been a thing. It's like, but he can see into the future. He makes future. He turns into a fucking car or a poo into a car. And then...
Nobody fucking calls him on these weird references. Yeah. These weird 90s references he's making.
Okay.
Jack
this has annoyed
Nicholson
me since I was a kid. And I brought this up recently in a thread. And someone said, do you know about the theory that Agrabah is actually in a future apocalypse, and Agrabah is the only thing that's left. So actually, the genie is making references to the past, because when you look at outside in the sand, there's things in the sand like I can't remember. It was like there's things in the sand that like you could argue it's obviously like a wee joke, but you could argue it's like it's an apocalypse, and that's all that's left, the wasteland and Agrabah. So it's actually set in the far future. And I was like, holy shit, that's great! I love this shit.
The flying carpet's just technology. It's all just technology.
It's like my Toy Story thing that fucks me up.
Oh, God, yeah.
I'll talk about it.
Yeah. Okay, right. So my question was, do you think this film is going to be full of Will Smith making horrible modern day?
Yes.
Oh, it is, isn't it? Yeah. And it's going to feel really fucking old. It's going to feel like a 40-year-old trying to get in with the kids.
A cartoon can get away with it.
I've got a feeling.
Well, Robin Williams could get away with it as well, yeah, because,
you know what?
He was funny.
I can you know what? I can go one step further.
Yeah.
I'll go one step further. I will pitch a line that Will Smith is almost guaranteed to say in this film.
Uh-huh.
He goes, "Oh, hell no." He will say that at one point.
I thought film. You were going to say, "Google Momo challenge, kids."
Come back to me later. Come back to me towards the end, Wolves.
Aladdin's having a difficult rub of his lamp.
Right.
I'm calling this, actually. We should call this.
Oh, yeah. So Ghostbusters. Yeah.
Ghostbusters. Oh, man, right. Okay. So... Oh, what a way to end it. Yeah, will we bring this to a close?
Yeah,
because I think we've...
Holy moly, what an episode.
We've run fairly long now, and there's not much getting cut out of this one, so again, good luck. But it's been a good episode compared to last week's dry fucking shit. So, aye.
Listening to last week's episode would be like taking a dry shit.
This is a nice, pleasant one you can just sit and take your time with.
Most definitely.
It's a burner. Go on.
So. Right. Question for you guys. Are we going to do an episode before Saturday, or will we just do Saturday?
We'll do Saturday.
And just try and put it out. So, everybody that's listening, this will probably come out tomorrow, Saturday at some point. I know we normally try Fridays. Recently, it's been Mondays. It's just the way life's worked. And I know you guys are still listening, and thanks for your... for dealing with that.
You're like a deadbeat dad. It's like, look, it's not that I can't see you, son. It's just I need to see you on another day. Okay?
So
I still love you, though.
Basically, your episode will come out sometime between Friday and Monday from now on, because it's just the way life's going.
Right, fuck you guys.
Yeah. So I'm just telling you now. So what we'll do, we'll get this one out, and then, your next episode will probably be Sunday or Monday next week.
Or if you're listening to us on Radio Haver.
Oh,
this will be. This thank will you very have already much. Happened.
Yes,
but we are moving to the 7 p.m. time slot.
Yep, so we'll be sometime between set. Well, we'll be starting at 7, between 7 and 9, depending how long the show is. We'll finish sometime.
Is that on Mondays?
Mondays.
Mondays at 7 p.m. on Radio Haver.
That's it.
Radio Haver.
And who's up after us again?
Wrestle Me This. And before us is Not Another Fake Podcast.
You guys are all beauts, like.
Or sorry, Not Another Fake News Podcast. It's actually quite good as well. Yeah. They go through the news.
Bad review.
It's really quite good. They go through the news and they essentially run through it, whether stuff's shite or not. They've had different councillors on and MPs and stuff. They're really good. Right. Good
other
Scottish podcast.
That's all great, cut. You're burying the lead here. Prime time for 5 o'clock.
Oh, yeah. 7 p.m., motherfuckers. And I think we heard, what is it? We are absolutely, what was the term?
Okay.
We did all right.
We're absolutely.
We got some nice feedback.
Yeah.
Probably just buttering us up.
Yeah.
Like...
Essentially, we're killing. Essentially, we're killing the slot.
Yeah.
So,
come on, man,
in a good way, not in a bad way.
Yeah, we're literally, we're killing it. Yeah.
Come on, man, just let's rub our dicks.
So, it's all good. So that's happening 7 o'clock. Yeah, we're changing there. We will be at the Whiskey Fest next Saturday. If you are there, come and talk to us.
Yeah.
You'll see us with our t-shirts. You'll see us with the mics.
Microphones.
Come and have a
likely
word.
Likely pished.
Probably. We want to talk to you as well. We want to see what you think about the Whiskey Fest.
I'm looking forward to taking everyone back to Fraser's to go on the journey again. That was a beautiful moment.
That was good. Yeah,
we'll
they're strawberry.
To have a, they can all make a point and we'll all have a fight.
So join us for that next week. 5club.co.uk.
Yeah.
Check out our merch.
Just check Google out the it. Blogs.
Yeah.
Buy yourself a 5club teddy bear. That's all I want. One person to just buy a 5club teddy bear. And it's not going to be me. It's going to be one of you people listening. I'll love you forever. You need to put a photo of yourself with the bear. I won't believe you if you just say you've bought the bear.
I'm just keeping my fingers crossed for that new t-shirt design.
Squeeze the teddy bear. It says, "Poor Diesel in my arms."
It's just a list of things like "Poor Diesel in my arms," "Challenging wank."
Do that. Or if you want to drop us a couple of pounds or whatever, we've got a voluntary donations page there as well. Do that. It's all good. We absolutely appreciate anything you can give to us because it helps us keep doing this, basically. Yeah, you also, with our hosting costs.
You can also be a podcast and just chip in a pound each and give it to us, and we'll appreciate it, unlike Glasgow-based podcasts.
Yeah.
Or get in contact with us.
Shove all in their veins.
If you want to come on Fife Club 100.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, get in touch.
Fife Club 100 is going to be a big one.
Yeah, it'll be good fun, I think.
Let's get our shit trending. What does that even mean?
I don't know, but Walkers have trending crisps at the moment, apparently. No idea. I think it just means special edition.
Okay.
Right. So that brings me to that time of the podcast where I have to ask. I'm going to go with James because he's not been on for a while. Yeah. What's the motto this week?
Be like all the cool kids and take on the Fife Club Momo Challenge.
Walk through Kirkcaldy, or we'll kill your family. Good night.
Good night.
Night.